Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. Worldview. Yes, indeed. I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, no. But we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. Thank you very much for being here. So good to have everyone. I'm joined in studio, as always today, by my extremely attractive audio engineer as she flips through shopping magazine. Coupons, ribs, steaks, all of that. I think I want to start with taxes. I feel the need to start with taxes, yes. Here at the McBurney compound about 20 years ago, we requested a six-month, what do they call it, a delay? No, they have another name for it. A six-month extension on our taxes, and we've been behind by 6 months for 20 years. So while all of you are used to paying your taxes in April, we are about to pay our taxes tomorrow. Because today being the 15th, tomorrow, the first business day, and the IRS gives you a grace period of approximately 35 seconds if it's the 16th. So we'll be writing a check to the IRS and to the state of Colorado tomorrow. Big check, by the way. Scary big check. And the government tries to do so much good with my money, and I see stories and I see politicians on the stump all the time telling me what wonderful things they're doing with my money. I think I have a report. I think I have a report this week from the Department of Health and Human Services, which, what is that? What is a human service? I don't get that, but that's the government trying to do good with my money. So tomorrow, my extremely attractive audio engineer and I should feel very, very good. Should feel very, very good about ourselves. I don't know, it just doesn't feel the same. Have you ever done anything really good just out of the goodness of your heart? I'll tell a story about myself. Not to aggrandize myself, but just to make a point. There was a time in the not-too-distant past where there was a missionary family and they needed a car. And I happened to have enough money to buy them a car. And so I bought them a car, and it felt great. I felt fantastic. I was on cloud nine for 3 days because I genuinely helped another human being. And here's the thing. When you help another human being who's actually a decent person, not a loser, not a welfare case, but just a genuinely decent person or family that just needs help, and you happen to be in a position to help, and you help, it feels fantastic.
You have to mention, but it wasn't like a new car.
Well, it wasn't a brand new car, but it ran for a little while.
I don't want people to think that we have money.
Yeah, no, we don't have enough money to buy any of you people a new car. But anyway, they were not losers. They were decent Americans, fine Christian people. They just happened to need a car because their car blew up. Anyway, I felt fantastic. Tomorrow, I know I'm going to feel like I've been kicked in the stomach all day long because, well, the government's taking all my money and they're doing all these wonderful things with it, and I feel horrible about writing them the check. Just awful. Just awful. It's not the same at all. But one thing I will expect, if any of you people see me in the coming week and you're active duty military, I expect you to come up to me and thank me for my service. Because I'm the one paying your salary this week. So there. I'm allowed to say that because I'm a veteran. Yes, I want all the active duty military in their uniforms to come up. You don't have to salute. I was only enlisted, but I do expect you to thank me for my service. And if you work at the DMV or the post office, you should stop and shake my hand and thank me for my service very much. All right. Now, I know that this show tends to bring a lot of bad news to light. So I want to start this week with some good news. And the good news comes to us today via USA Today from the War File, and it's all about ISIS in Syria. The Syrian government and other forces have apparently got ISIS in their final corner, the final corner of their final dirty little rat hole. They are attempting to seize the town of Mayadeen, and USA Today reports that the Syrian government forces are in the final battle for the control of ISIS, capital Raqqa. And Mayadeen apparently had become a refuge where all these ISIS leaders and their captive slave girls and alleged families have been hiding out, wallowing in their own filth there in Mayadeen. And now forces are closing in on Mayadeen. That's good news. That now, you remember when Syria first began to rampage across Iraq and Syria, that I said a well-equipped battalion of Marines could make quick work of ISIS within a few weeks. And here we are, let's see, that would have been 2013. Here we are, we're 4 years later. That's because a battalion of well-equipped Marines has never been dispatched against ISIS. It's been the Syrian government, supported by Russia, and it's been a number of Shia militia backed by Iran. And so what would have taken the Marine Corps 4 weeks has taken the rest of the third world 4 years to do. And, well, that's where the good news ends, unfortunately, because I try to do my best to bring you some good news. ISIS is on the verge of collapse. We can celebrate for 30 seconds because our government fears that further advances by the Syrian government forces could end up actually helping Iran. And Iran could end up expanding its influence across the region, securing a land bridge all the way from Iraq through Syria and Lebanon all the way to Israel. And Iran ends up the hegemonic power in that part of the Middle East because of the lack of Western resolve to destroy and kill the enemies of everything that's good and right. And install a Christian puppet government, which is what I would have done. I would have flown the legislature of Texas there, told them this is your new home and whatever. But that never happened. In Mayadeen, according to USA Today, government troops backed by Shiite militia, they say they have control of the town. Meaning that Syrian government-backed troops don't really have control of anything. The Shiite militias have control, which means Iran has control, which means even the good news is tinged with some rather precarious and ominous truths. But, there's your good news for the week. Oh, by the way, Al-Shabaab blew up about 500 people in Mogadishu, Somalia, last night or this morning. I believe it was yesterday evening, Monday evening. Nearly 300 dead so far. I'm sorry. I believe it was Sunday evening. Is that possible? No. The day before Sunday, not being Monday, but being Saturday, as a matter of fact. So what I meant to say was Saturday evening.
Are you talking about their time or your time?
Their time. So anyway, the reason I'm not sure is because you can barely find any news about it.
Yeah.
You go to the news sites that I often go to, and you read stories about the NFL and what quarterback is hurt, and what new actress is saying about what new producer out in Hollywood with all of it. And meanwhile, Al-Shabaab blows up 500 people in Mogadishu. Just vicious, vicious people, Al-Shabaab. Again, I am calling on a well-equipped battalion of United States Marines could chase Shabaab to the gates of hell in less than a month. But apparently we're not going to do that. We're going to allow this to... But now, I'm not volunteering to go. I'm not saying I would go. I'm a little old and fat to go. But Anyway, I would have gone at one time, and we have young men who are capable of doing it. And anyway, I hear people say, well, you know, you can't defeat an ideology militarily. Well, it sure helps if you kill them all first to rid the world of an ideology. First, kill all the people spreading that ideology, and then we can work from there on the ideology, trust me. All right, so there we go. So there's the good news for the beginning of the week there to kick off your week. Now, let's go to the science file, where we learn from The Guardian that England's chief medical officer is warning of a post-antibiotic apocalypse. Yeah, she's concerned about growing antibiotic resistance. And this is a serious problem. Professor Dame Sally Davies said that if antibiotics lose their effectiveness, it would spell the end of modern medicine. Without drugs to fight infections, common medical interventions like cesarean sections, cancer treatments, hip replacements, things we take for granted, would become incredibly risky, and transplant medicine would be a thing of the past. That would be over. She estimates that about 1 in 3 prescriptions, antibiotic prescriptions in the United Kingdom, were probably not needed. And she says that's not even the worst of it, because other countries, the third world, they use vastly more antibiotics in the community, and they need to start doing as we are, which is trying to reduce usage of antibiotics. In other countries, you can just buy antibiotics at the drugstore, right? I seem to remember that in Mexico. You could just go buy penicillin, amoxicillin, ampicillin, all the cillins you could buy. Seems like in Japan you could too, but I don't know. I didn't have a big need for antibiotics when I was in Japan, but it seems to me that most of the rest of the world, they eat antibiotics like candy whenever they feel sick. So there you go. ISIS is on the verge of defeat, but the rest of the world is on the verge of a post-antibiotic apocalypse. So there you go. If you were enjoying your good news, let me stop you from doing that. But let's see here. How much time? I think I've got enough time. This is about perfect. So I was sitting up in an Airbnb with a bunch of heathens, and I had had a debate with one of them about the origins of the universe earlier in the day. And as they were sitting, entertaining themselves on their phones and doing Snapchat and checking Tinder, I began to read aloud from the following article that I got from The Atlantic. This is a couple of weeks old, but this is a timeless story. The story was about slime molds. I said, slime mold. Yes. It's a yellow, oozing, amoeba-like organism found on decaying logs and other moist areas. They have no brains. They have no neurons. Each consists of just a single giant cell, and yet they're capable of surprisingly complicated and almost intelligent behaviors. The species makes decisions, escapes from traps, and can even break out of petri dishes. Yes, it's a unicellular organism, but scientists say it looks smart. Now, these slime molds can exist as microscopic cells, and when they swarm together, they can merge. And this results in a single giant cell called a plasmodium. A plasmodium. And they can extend for several meters. They move about with a top speed of about 4 centimeters per hour by extending tendrils in any direction. A single plasmodium. By the way, this is a slime mold. Did you get that? A single plasmodium can tear itself into fully functioning pieces, and the pieces can then fuse back together again. The plasmodium is essentially a flat, liquid-filled sac, but it behaves like a colony. Every part rhythmically expands and contracts. The slime mold can make effective decisions, comparing different options and selecting the best one. In 2009, now get this, for all of you people who advocate a blind Darwinian evolution, which was all the people in the Airbnb that I was living in that weekend. I said, get this. In 2009, Atsushi Tero from Hokkaido University released a slime mold onto a petri dish molded on a map of the greater Tokyo area with bits of food representing major urban centers. As the plasmodium sent its tendrils over the map, it continually changed its branches, strengthening some and weakening others. After about a day, it had created a network that was almost identical to Tokyo's actual rail network, which engineers had worked on for decades to make it the most efficient pattern of tracks, and the slime mold did it in about a day. Ha! How about that for all you Darwinians? Make better decisions than most millennials. Yes, so what are you implying there? Yes, yes, yes. In fact, I ended up having quite the conversation with these millennial heathens about why is it that this slime mold still crawls around the earth and hasn't evolved? How they? Because they said, well, doesn't that mean like the slime mold is evolving? I said, well, actually, to the rational person, it looks like the slime mold was designed by an intelligent designer. Slime mold's been around for billions and billions and trillions of years, even. But still, it's just a slime mold, but it's smarter than you think. All right, so what do we want to do now here? I did the slime mold. That's a great story. A great way to break the ice with a room full of heathens is whip out the irreducible complexity of the design of God's living creatures and just let it go from there. Oh, and later on in the evening, that same evening, as a matter of fact. Now, I had not preached the gospel of Jesus Christ at this point on that particular night. All I was talking about was intelligent design, God designing, God being the creator, that the universe was made by God. That's all. I hadn't used the name of Jesus Christ. But later on in the evening, when the boss came and a serious subject was broached, one of the kids looked at me and he said, okay, Doug, now no Jesus talk. And that's when you know you're getting through to these people. You don't even have to mention his name every time, and they know exactly who you're talking about. And they know who you're with, you see. They know who I'm with, and it annoys them. Yeah, none of them will share a room with me anymore because they claim I snore too loud. That's what they say. Oh, I haven't told people the background. When I go out on the road, sometimes my vendor puts me up in an Airbnb with a bunch of heathen millennials, just to clarify. And it used to be that we would have to bunk together in rooms. And now I get my own room. The coordinator says it's because I'm the senior person. Like I'm the old guy. Some of the guys say it's because McBurney snores too much, but I know that it's because I tend to talk to them about God right when they're falling asleep.
Hey, you got blessed.
Yeah, see, it's a blessing. Now I get my own room. Anyway, I'll keep working on them if whatever. I'll work on them when I'm obviously no longer obligated as they all know where I stand, but anyway. A good time was had by all, and they all learned about the slime mold. Oh, yeah, I had one of them. I get going on this now. I had one of these young kids tell me that if God would just show himself, come down and stand in front of him, then he would believe. And I said, you know what? Everything you're asking God to do, he already did to other people who were way more important than you before you ever even came along. He showed himself to the mightiest kings on the planet, face to face. They couldn't deny it. So I don't think God is obligated to you driving around in your Scion. that he should come down and announce himself to you so that you will believe, and besides, you wouldn't believe. Anyway, I was kind of hard on that kid. I feel like maybe I should call him up and say, listen, I was kind of hard on you. Well, we'll get together again in the not-too-distant future, and I'll try to be nicer. Anyway, it was funny because we drove around, let's see, what town were we in? We were in San Jose. Drove around San Jose for a long time trying to find something, and so the kid was locked in the car with me for like 45 minutes. So he had, he couldn't get away. And he had all the fundamental arguments of every atheist I've ever debated ever. And never has he had all of his arguments slapped down so fast and so concisely and so irrefutably ever. So, and he kept trying to change the subject. And I said, we're not changing the subject. That's not going to happen, my friend. I'm driving. Anyway, just trying to plant a seed. That's all. Just trying to plant a seed is all we're doing out here. Now, speaking of San Jose, our hearts go out to everyone up in the Napa, Sonoma area, Santa Rosa, just awful, unbelievable. Have you seen the video of some of the neighborhoods? It really looks like a war zone. It's just shocking. And ever since, is it just me, or is ever since that hurricane sat over Houston and flooded that place out, it just seems like one disaster after another, one horrifying event after another. It just seems like all the way up to the fires in California this week. Just anyway, it just feels disastrous. There's disaster in the air, so to speak. Speaking of that, let's go to the war file. We go to the Washington Examiner, where an expert warned Congress last week that North Korea could hit us with an EMP and kill 90% of all of us. 90%, that's right. Look to your left, look to your right, look in the mirror, you could all be dead. Yes, now this expert, I'm not sure. I personally have never been convinced of this EMP science. I'm not saying that the experts are wrong. I'm just saying I find it hard to believe that an electromagnetic pulse could knock out everything all at once. I just find that hard to believe, and I could be wrong. If you think I'm wrong, talk to someone else about it, because I don't have time. I have a day job, and I have things I have to do. But anyway, I've heard compelling arguments. The expert came and said, well, there could be an explosion at high altitude, a nuclear bomb. It could shut down the U.S. electrical power grid for an unidentified period. I'm sorry, for an indefinite period. And see, right there, I disagree. The U.S. electrical power grid would not be shut down for an indefinite period. It would be shut down for a relatively short period. I mean, this is, unless you're in Puerto Rico, where they say 80% of the island is still without electricity. Another disaster. What, that was one of them, right? Puerto Rico? It was unbelievable to watch that hurricane rake over that island. The most direct of all direct hits I've ever seen. Maybe the most direct hit on any specific landmass that's ever been documented. At least for the impact on the entire landmass. But anyway, don't get too upset about Puerto Rico, because 60% of the island never had electricity. At least not reliable electricity. But it is awful down there, and I shouldn't joke about it, because it is terrible. And we hope that, a circumstance like that, you people know that I'm not about government welfare and intervention. But in a situation like Puerto Rico, I think it is the obligation of the United States government to do everything they can to prevent people from dying with dirty water and disease, and it's just terrible down there. It's awful, and it's hard to believe that it's taken them this long to recover so little. You got to wonder what's going on down there. It's probably politics and money and all of that. It really shows forth the sinfulness of man when you see how people behave in a disaster. Of course, you've got the heroic people. There are those. But there's also looters. And there's people stealing from one another. And it's just a fine example of the state of fallen humanity that Puerto Rico still can't get back on its feet. And it's been, almost a month now. So we pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Puerto Rico, and we hope that they're able to get themselves back on their feet. Now, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, 90% of us are dead. As soon as Kim Jong-un launches his EMP, let's see. Oh, yeah, electrical power grid could be shut down for an indefinite period. I'm going to say less than 3 weeks. I'll make a prediction. If there is an EMP, the power grid will be shut down for less than 3 weeks. But the experts say that the power grid will go down. This would lead to the death within a year of up to 90% of all Americans. Up to 90%, huh? They leave themselves a little wiggle room there. Meaning it could be 0.05% or up to 90%. Who are these experts? William R. Graham, the former chairman of the former EMP commission and his former chief of staff. Oh, I see. They used to have a job studying EMPs, and their commission was disbanded, and now they're telling us we're all going to die. No doubt if we funded the EMP commission again, that the scenario would be a little bit rosier, at least in the eyes of Mr. Graham and his former chief of staff, Vince. No, I don't want to call into question the credibility of these two men. I'm sure they're fine, decent Americans who are genuinely concerned about the EMPs, aside from the fact that they lost their funding. That's just an ancillary item that I happen to notice. But then again, I'm very jaded, extremely jaded. Well, here's what they say, folks. 6 months ago, most experts thought what I'm about to go through, this is absolutely true. There's no doubt about this. 6 months ago, we all thought North Korea had a few atom bombs. Now we assume they have approximately 60 atomic weapons. 6 months ago, experts thought North Korea's ICBMs were fake. Now we know they're real because they launched them. Now they have ICBMs that could strike Denver and Chicago, and perhaps every major metropolitan area in the United States. 6 months ago, experts thought North Korea was many, many years away from a hydrogen bomb. Now, since they blew up a hydrogen bomb, it appears they actually have a hydrogen bomb. After massive intelligence failures, this is according to the experts, Mr. Graham and Vince, after massive intelligence failures, grossly underestimating North Korea's long-range missile capabilities, number of nuclear weapons, warhead miniaturization, and proximity to an H-bomb, the biggest North Korean threat to the U.S. remains unacknowledged, the nuclear EMP attack. See, that part I just don't buy. North Korea's biggest threat to the United States is starting World War III via South Korea. That's the biggest threat. Because they're right there, okay? So the biggest threat, I don't think, is an EMP, but I could be wrong. Their testimony also highlighted the failure of the Pentagon or Congress to extend funding for the EMP commission. They did mention that. That's at the end of the story. All right, well, I guess we'll see. Hey, if the good news is if I'm wrong, there'll be no one around to criticize me because 90% of us will all be dead. So I won't have to hear I told you so from too many people. Maybe not from anybody. When the lights go down in the city and the sun shines on the bay, ooh, I want to be there in my city. Thank you. It's the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney, coming to you from Denver, Colorado, one of many possible targets of Kim Jong-un and his nuclear, yes, all of that. Okay, so, but let's not get too down in the mouth just because we're all about to be incinerated. Let's move on to taxes. Yes, taxes. Okay, well, we opened up with taxes. And now, right now, according to Bloomberg, consumers pay tax on goods purchased directly from Amazon, but they often don't if they're buying them through Amazon from a third party. That's right. They've called it the big internet tax loophole. If you sell things online, let's say I've got something for sale on my website in Colorado, which I do, by the way. I encourage you all to go there and buy a bunch. If you live in Indianapolis, I don't collect the taxes for the state of Indiana, nor do I remit taxes to the state of Indiana. Well, Amazon is about to, they're going to knuckle under, and after that, there's probably going to be a federal law that says even if you don't live and work in a particular state, let's say Indiana, even though I don't live there, I don't work there, I know some people there, great folks, but I don't really want to collect taxes for their government, but I will. I will have to. It won't be long because on December 1st, it looks like Amazon merchants are expected to start collecting taxes in exchange for partial amnesty from back taxes. Basically, the state governments are threatening online retailers to go and charge them back taxes on everything they've sold for the last X number of years. And through this basic blackmail tactic, the states are going to get, they're basically scaring people into believing that if you don't start paying taxes now, we're going to go audit you for the last X years and we're going to collect it all, which is terrifying. It's terrifying. Now, there was a... Supreme Court ruling. Let's see. They don't have the year here, but it was the Quill Pen Company. So Quill, they sold their pens via catalog years and years ago. I believe this ruling is at least 20 years old. A 25-year-old U.S. Supreme Court case established the rules in the ruling, they barred North Dakota from forcing the Quill Corporation to levy sales tax for their mail order office supply catalog because the operator lacked a physical presence in the state. So the Supreme Court said, look, if you don't live in North Dakota, you're not obligated to collect taxes and remit them to the state of North Dakota. And everybody thought that seemed logical. And then the internet came along, and now we're selling tens of billions of dollars worth of goods online, and nobody's paying taxes. And all the brick-and-mortar stores are saying, hey, we're at an unfair advantage. Which really what that means is if you're in a brick-and-mortar store, maybe you should open up a website. Get on it, you know. Maybe you should get with it. But no, instead, they're going to blackmail all of us and turn us all into tax collectors, which I'm already a tax collector for the state of Colorado. And in short order, I'll be collecting taxes and remitting them to every state in the union. Amazon and other large online retailers with all the money, they say they want a federal rule about sales tax for states rather than having to work within a state-by-state patchwork. They've basically, they're basically telegraphing that, yes, the tax-free Wild West environment of the internet is going to be over, and we're all going to be tax collectors for the state of North Dakota, amongst others, and... the key question, according to the article in Bloomberg, who will be responsible for collecting and remitting the taxes? It's going to be every poor small business person out there breaking our backs just to make it. And now you're going to make us collect taxes in North Dakota. That's just what we needed. Thank you very much. Well, there you have it. So I guess buy all your goodies on Amazon now because you'll be fully taxed on all of them and on everything else that you buy online. Unless smart business people figure out a way to get around it. Do you think that's possible? I think it's possible. I think it's possible that entrepreneurs will suddenly be, I don't know, their headquarters will be in Madagascar or something like that. Make them chase you for another 10 years. By that time, you made enough money to retire And you can, you've outsmarted the government, and you can laugh all the way to the bank. No, I could probably get thrown in jail just for giving that idea out. Telling people, I don't, when I was a young child growing up, I dreamed of being many things. A tax collector was never amongst them. I never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd be a tax collector, but I am. And I am subject to audit of the state of Colorado. And no doubt that's coming someday. Boy, boy, do I knock on wood. This is the only time I get superstitious is when I think about this audit. Generally, okay, let's change the subject. Let's go to let's go to Harvey Weinstein. Always a reliable subject. Well, I've only got one thing to say about it, okay? I'm not going to bring up any of the particulars because it's a very distasteful story. But, boy, when Courtney Love says you're a degenerate, you must be a pretty bad human being, Harvey. Courtney. Oh. Yeah, Courtney Love was on, she was, I mean, Courtney Love, from what I understand, you need a penicillin shot if you ride on the same elevator with Courtney Love, and she thinks Harvey Weinstein's a lousy person. That's pretty bad, Harvey. Yeah, anyway. I watched one of Harvey Weinstein's movies back, I'm not going to say before I was a Christian. I think it might have been, actually. It was, what was that movie? That was what I said, but that's really evil, evil, evil. I can't believe they can do that. Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction. I remember watching that movie, and this is at a time when I was, we were at a point in our lives where we knew that we had to figure something out, or things were going to go south, and so we were shopping around for churches. I remember we were going, we would sit through a Sunday, and we'd come out of the church going, "Oh man, I can't do that, golly!" And we did that for a few months, and at that point, we watched Pulp Fiction, and I remember telling my extremely attractive audio engineer, saying, "I can't believe they can do that on a movie. That's so evil. I mean, whoever made that movie, they should all be arrested." Anyway, that was my introduction and my first and last Harvey Weinstein experience. I never put another penny into that, to that man's pocket. That's all. And anyway, couldn't happen to a nicer guy, Harvey. Yeah. Everybody's your friend, Harvey. We all love you. No, with VHS. We didn't.
VHS.
It was VHS. Yeah, we didn't go to a theater. So we put a minimal amount of money into Harvey's pocket. All right. Now, so I was speaking of millennials earlier. And this tangentially, this is a tangential commentary on millennials. This is from thehill.com. The number of Americans living with a spouse or a partner has fallen notably in the last decade, driven in part by decisions to delay marriage in the wake of the Great Recession that we all came through. I guess we're through it. I don't know. To me, it seems like things have never been the same, but I'm glad I was already living with a partner. Well, actually, I wasn't living with a partner. I was living with a spouse. I don't like the idea of the including a partner and a spouse as if they're the equivalent in this story. So that, I just noticed that I don't like that. I wasn't living with a partner. I was living with a spouse during the crash of 08. And that's probably one of the things that pulled me through it. But The Hill says 42% of Americans live without a spouse or a partner. I'm not going to mention partner anymore. I don't want to hear that. Equivocation of... just garden variety fornication and the God-ordained holy institution of marriage. They're not the same over there at the Hill. Just because all of you are shacking up with some boy or girl or combination of the two doesn't mean that it's the equivalent, all right? Anyway, under the, let's see here. Nearly half of all Americans under the age of, more than half of Americans under the age of 35 live without a spouse. Wow. Marriage rate declines precipitously. Boy, I can't read. I got to try. Let me try this again. The higher number of spouseless households comes as marriage rate declines precipitously. No, that's not written properly. Bottom line, folks, marriage rates are dropping precipitously. just half of American adults are married, down from almost three quarters in 1960. Analysts say the decline in both marriage, I'm just going to leave that out. The decline in marriage is likely the result of the declining ability of men to earn a salary large enough to sustain a family. Uh-huh. Yeah, they call it the growing fragility of the male wage earner. Now, that I do believe is happening. I know that a lot of my younger people 20 years younger than me, they seem to have to work an awful lot harder for an awful lot less than I did at their age. It just seems that way. The data shows that marriage rates increase in connection with larger salaries. See, my experience was just the opposite. I was always dead broke with nothing until I got married, and then I had a little bit of something. Then when I started to have kids and I had people completely, utterly dependent upon me, I was very motivated, and I started to make more and more money every... I wanted to have a kid every few years because my salary and my income kept going up. It was awesome. I think it's all about your attitude. If you've been educated by the culture that children are expensive and they'll leave you poor, well, then that's what you're going to believe, and it could become a self-fulfilling prophecy. But if you believe that having a woman at home, and I'm talking to young men because I'm a man, okay? If you believe that having a woman at home to take care of is going to help you because you got a partner to share the bills with and life with and all the problems and all the duties around the house, you got someone to help you in life. Well, if you look at it that way, then you should get married as soon as possible. You need a spouse in life. It's extremely helpful. And then once you start having children, well, then you just grow up and you learn how to work and you learn how to make more money. So I think that the pop culture has miseducated a generation of young men, convincing them that getting married and having children is going to cost them, when in fact, making children and having a wife, not necessarily in that order, I meant getting married and having children is what will make you a man in full. See, I wanted her real bad, and I was about to give in. And that's when she started talking about true love, started talking about sin. I said, honey, I'll live with you for the rest of my life. She said, no hugging, no kissing, until you make me your wife. My honey, my baby, don't put my love on no shelf. She said, don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself. It's the Wiggly World View. I'm Doug McBurney. Thank you very much for sticking with us. Dan Brown says that the need for religion and God is going to be replaced. Yeah, Dan Brown. You remember him? He's an author. He's sold 200 million books in 56 languages. That's approximately 0.05% of what God has done with the Bible. I'm just saying, Dan Brown. Anyway, he says that humanity no longer needs God, but may develop a new form of collective consciousness that fulfills the role of religion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's promoting his new book, as you can well imagine, so we won't talk about that. What's that now?
Always help to sell if you mention.
Oh, that's true. Now, if you're a guy like Dan Brown and you're a fairly talented writer, but maybe you're not the most creative guy on the planet, you can always go to God as a subject in order to lend yourself some credibility. Dan Brown, yes, bring up someone more famous than yourself. That'll help establish you as a credible source. Dan Brown has called for greater harmony between the world's great religions and those who profess no faith. Yes. It's kind of hard to say, how are you going to have unity if you profess faith in God And let's say a guy like Dan Brown says we don't need God any longer. He's not real. I don't know how we find unity, Dan. I suppose we could agree on what's the best pistachio ice cream. Maybe. I suppose we could find some unity. Dan Brown, listen to the brilliance of this fella. Christianity, Judaism, and Islam all share a gospel, loosely. And it's important that we all realize that. Our religions are much more similar than they are different, says Dan Brown. Really, Dan? Well, you know, I will give him credit in that Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, they all come from Abraham. So there you go.
Okay, again.
You know, one of them's a complete counterfeit that chops other people's heads off. One of them denies the son of their God and took part in his execution. And there are some parts of Jerusalem today, if you go and try to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the Jews will beat you to death in the street. It's a fact. Christians, on the other hand, we do okay with the Jews. Well, we don't necessarily want the Muslims in our neighborhoods, but a very different gospel. As a matter of fact, in fact, Christianity is the only religion that claims to preach the gospel. It's the good news. There you go. Okay. What else does he say? Our need for that exterior God that sits up there and judges us all will diminish and eventually disappear. Well, isn't that convenient for you, Mr. Brown? After God helps you sell all those books, now when it comes time for him to judge you, he's going to diminish and disappear. That's a pretty convenient worldview for you. All right, the Trump administration, listen to this. This is how gullible Christians are. I just said Christianity is the true religion, right? But Christians in general are kind of gullible. This is from a Christian website, WorldNet Daily. The headline is Trump administration, quote, life begins at conception, unquote. And they make the headline look as if someone in the Trump administration took to the dais and announced that the official position of the Trump administration going forward is that life begins at conception. We will do everything within our power to change the laws and to change the legal activities in the United States to reflect the fact that life begins at conception. But that's not what happened. What actually happened was the Department of Health and Human Services published a draft strategic plan. Uh-huh. Yeah. This is the WorldNet Daily admits that it's the largely overlooked HHS strategic plan for 2018 through 2022, in which it is written that the agency, quote, accomplishes its mission through programs and initiatives that protect Americans at every stage of life, beginning at conception. And so there it is, a nominal mention of life beginning at conception in an unknown draft memo at HHS, and WorldNet Daily slaps it up there as if Donald Trump has just slapped a padlock on Planned Parenthood's headquarters. It's just gullible and foolish. But WorldNet Daily does say the following, which is true. This is from the personhood file, by the way. WorldNet Daily says the personhood of the unborn child is central to the abortion debate. The justice who wrote Roe v. Wade acknowledged that if the personhood of the unborn child were ever established in law, it would nullify a right to abortion. So, you know what amazes me is that the personhood of the child at that time in 1973 was already established in law. But for some reason, we let him get away with saying it wasn't. Which I think, again, it proves the fact that people are generally fallen and bad. They're not generally good. Because we all let them get away with this right there in front of us. It wasn't like they did this in the shadows. They did it right in front of us, and they had been doing it state by state. Anyway, So now listen to this. I'll read from the, just this is unbelievable. This is the draft plan from the Department of Health and Human Services states, quote, a core component of the HHS mission is our dedication to serve all Americans from conception to natural death, but especially those individuals and populations facing or at a high risk for economic and social well-being challenges through effective human services. Ugh. What awful socialist dreck. I mean, Donald Trump would impress me more if he just abolished HHS. I don't care what their memos say about life beginning at conception. The whole department should be bulldozed into the Potomac, for crying out loud. Just unbelievable. Harvey Weinstein donated $100,000 to Planned Parenthood at their 100th anniversary party. That's according to Breitbart. Shocking, right? No? Actually, we're not shocked. He was joined on stage by Meryl Streep, Julianne Moore, Scarlett Johansson, and Chelsea Handler, and gave Hillary Clinton a standing ovation at the event. Isn't that proving that God has mercy? Because here he had them all in one place. He had them all right there in one room. One grenade, right? But no, he didn't. He's merciful. Anyway, let's see more news from Washington. The Supreme Court has picked December 5th to hear arguments in the case of a Colorado baker accused by the state of Colorado of violating regulations when he refused to promote a homosexual wedding. Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop was asked to customize a wedding cake for a pair of homos, and he wouldn't do it. And so now they're trying to take everything from him and, if at all possible, throw him in prison. All right, so there, December 5th is when they'll hear the oral arguments on that, as if oral arguments were even necessary in a case like this. If the Supreme Court were truly on balance conservative and Republican, if that were true, they would have dismissed all of this and they would have let the baker go. They would have summarily dismissed anything against the baker, but that's not what. I can't do this Chick-fil-A story. I can't do it. No, I have to do this. Nah, I'm not gonna. Too disturbing. I don't wanna do stories about child molesters. Oh, here we go. Listen to this. This is a riot. What's that? Chick-fil-A did it? No. All right, I'll do the story real quick. A Florida man was arrested last Friday in the sexual assault of a 2-year-old in the bathroom of a Chick-fil-A in Orlando, Florida. A customer witnessed the attack. This is from the death penalty file, by the way, just because this is, people ask, why do we need a death penalty? Right here. David Gray, 35, faces charges of sexual battery on a child younger than 12. The child was 2. He also faces charges of molestation, child abuse, contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Really? Anyway, the justice system is so jacked up. I mean, I can't even. Contributing to the delinquency of a minor? Anyway, let's leave that aside. The molester, 35-year-old David Gray, was in a motorized wheelchair at the time. He was a disabled, probably had the disabled parking space. Just unbelievable. This is why there's a death penalty. For people like this, who would harm a 2-year-old child, he should be executed with extreme prejudice in an extremely painful public... yuck. All right, but let's move on. I don't really care about this. Don't really care about new dating trends amongst the millennials. I'm just not interested, so let's set that aside. Here we go. We come now to reason number 1102 to keep or get your children out of the government school system. The Board of Education at San Francisco Unified School District, Mark Sanchez, has introduced a resolution to opt out of assessment tests. Yes. He says that the tests, let's see. Well, we have a quote from Mark Sanchez, the Board of Education commissioner out there at San Francisco United School District. He says, quote, I have seen how tests are universally scorned by both teachers and principals. Well, there you go. The teachers don't like them, the principals don't like them, and the kids don't do very well on the tests. And so his solution is to just get rid of the tests. Yeah, stop testing the students. A survey of San Francisco teachers revealed concerns among teachers that the tests overwhelmed students with over-testing. Over-testing. I have another quote from, is this Mr. Sanchez again? No, this is a quote from Pablo, a fifth grade bilingual teacher in the San Francisco school system. Pablo says, quote, "I have had kids try, they've been crying because they knew that there were questions they did not know the answer to, and they could not go back and answer them again. It was heartbreaking." Unquote. That's Pablo, fifth grade bilingual teacher. Pablo also expressed concerns about equity in testing. That's always a big. "Not all students have access to the same technology. Those that are comfortable, they're going to excel. While it's frustrating for other students, sometimes they cry." So they're going to shut down the tests to make sure that the students are learning something. Reason number 1,102, mostly being that the Board of Education and the teacher's lounge is full of a bunch of lisping homos. That's one reason right there. Plus, they're not going to test the kid to make sure that he actually learned anything. Reason number 1,103, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. A health teacher at Lithonia Middle School in Georgia gave students a quiz that outlined 10 terms pertaining to sexual identity. Some of the identities on the assignment were lesbian, gay, and transgender. Yes, this is according to Fox 5 in Atlanta. The quiz was meant to test the students' ability to form links between sexual identities and sexual orientations. By the way, the kids were 10 years old. Not that this would be appropriate to give to someone 35 years old, but these kids happened to be 10. One mom was very upset. She said, "We're talking about a sixth grader who still watches Nickelodeon. I'm not ready to explain what these words are, nor what they mean," said mom. Mom recalls speaking to the health teacher prior to the assignment when they talked about the quiz. The health teacher assured this particular mom that materials revolving around sexual orientation would not be focused on. Mom. Anyway, this hapless mother is outraged, even though she talked to this pervert and he basically told her what he was going to do. The quiz was issued, and the DeKalb County School District is experiencing a backlash, yes. To underline her discontentment with the situation, our hapless mom has filled out a consent form to have her daughter exempted from that particular class, yes. The DeKalb County School District issued a response to parents' concerns in a statement, because they weren't ready to actually take questions. They said the DeKalb County School District has been made aware of the alleged event and is working to verify its authenticity. "We will investigate this event and take action as appropriate once that investigation is complete." Well, mom says, hapless mom in DeKalb says, "I will be removing my daughter from that class. I'm also going to take it to the Board of Education and see what they have to say about it." At which point, if they say, "Look, it's okay," then mom's going to drop her daughter off the next day at school. Well, maybe not. Where there's life, there's hope, and we can pray that hapless mom from DeKalb will just pull her kid out of the school, because it's obvious that the teacher is some kind of sex pervert. Mom? Okay? All right. I think that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Weekly Worldview for this week. Thank you very much for tuning in. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and at AmericanRightToLife.com, and of course my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studio. Should the Lord tarry, I should say. If he returns, well, we'll get out of the whole EMP thing. But if he tarries, and the EMP and the super volcano, if all that doesn't happen, we'll be back with you next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.